Hello, how are you? Well, I hope in these exceptional times. Trevor Taylor here, and welcome to Southwest Soundings for April, a new podcast venture for these new times. And what strange times they are. Just when we expect to be getting our boats back in the water, we find ourselves firmly anchored ashore. The news is laden with gloom, and indeed the situation is grave, but that does not mean life has to grind to a halt. Sailors are an inventive lot, used to coping with whatever nature throws at them, and CA members are particularly adept at turning a problem into an opportunity, especially down here in the southwest. We may be at home, but that doesn't mean sailing activities have come to a complete halt. Oh no. In this podcast, we'll be hearing from a Devon member who finds himself trapped on his boat in Brittany.
I can jump on the bicycle every morning, go to the boulangerie, and if I'm feeling a bit more energetic, I can bicycle uptown, which is about 10 minutes, to the local supermarché and come back with all I need. The basic food shops are open. Everything else is very shut up.
We hear from a Bristol member who recently bought a boat and now can't visit it.
We recently bought a new boat, so we're now stuck with two, and the new boat is out in Holland in a shed, which of course we can't get to, but we did at least bring all its lines back to wash, which we've now done, and I've whipped all the ends of those lines, as Mr. Cuncliffe suggests is a seaman-like thing to do.
A member who sails out of Plymouth has been getting lots of exercise.
I've been going on long bike rides, doing a lot of cooking, and I finally got round to editing some video that I shot on the boat 2 years ago.
And more details of that video later, which shows a real craftsman at work. Meanwhile, from Cornwall, the CA's web editor explains that with so many ports and countries closed to yachts, the specialist pages of the CA website are especially important.
With regard to the situation with COVID-19 on the website, we have a new page that I created based on information provided by RATS, our Regulations and Technical Services Group, that contains advice and considerations for cruising with regard to the situation, as well as country-specific information on the current restrictions that are in place.
But first, the corona crisis has had a devastating effect on CA events and members worldwide. Here in the southwest, our visits to the Met Office and the Britannia Royal Naval College at Dartmouth have been postponed. Just about every section has had its calendar of events abandoned. CA House is closed and all talks and meetings have been cancelled. So has the CA ceased to function? That's the question I put to the Association's General Manager, Lucy Gray.
No, absolutely not. So this time of year, we would normally not really have any events at CA House. Obviously, we'd have the ability for people to stay in cabins, we'd be sending out library books. So unfortunately, that function has had to come to a stop. But we've got all staff members working from home now. So every other service that you can access online, if you need any information or any help, CA staff are on hand to help. So if anybody's got any questions, please get in touch with us. And we are very much operating, even though we're not in the building.
So it's business as usual, more or less.
It should be more or less, yeah. Obviously, like I say, there's no cabins available. There's some minor things that we aren't able to do, but for the most part, 80-90% of what we do on a normal day-to-day basis is taking place, but it's just taking place in our own homes rather than the lovely building that is CA House. To be honest, it's been quite an adjustment for most of the staff. Obviously, we're all used to coming into CA House every single day, and it's such a lovely building to work in. And all of a sudden, you know, you're at home and you've kind of got to get into a routine at what is a very weird time for everybody anyway. But to be honest, the team that we've got are so strong and everybody's mucked in and everybody's helping each other. So it's now working perfectly and, you know, the team are good. So we're here to help if anybody needs us.
Well, that's good to hear. Is there anything particularly you would like to say to members at this time?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I'd like to thank members for their support, because obviously it's a very difficult and trying time at the minute. Obviously, everybody is enormously upset about what's happening in the world with the virus. Obviously, our members are concerned that they can't go sailing, but we've had so much feedback from members. Everyone will have received an email from the president last week, but the feedback that we've had from that has just been fantastic, and members have been, like I say, so supportive, and there's people that are making suggestions on what the CA can be doing. And I think the important message that we portray to members is that we are absolutely taking all of those suggestions into consideration. And Council and I will be talking next week about what we can do for members in the interim whilst they unfortunately can't go sailing. There's lots of members that haven't been on the website before, and now is the time to be checking out all of the information, because I'm sure that there will be a lot of people that are making some very exciting plans for next year when they can get on the water again. So now's the time to be doing the research, you know, go on the website, have a look at, you know, all of the information that's available on there. We're just about to release a new version of Captain's Mate as well. With that, what I'd probably suggest is there's a new feature coming under Find My Friend, and it gives members the ability to contact other members via email. So, you know, if you're sat at home and you're worried about your boat, you know, because it's somewhere in the Med and you can't access it, if you see a member that's local to it, maybe drop them an email and just say to them, hey, if you're passing, can you maybe check the boat? So that might be a good way of, you know, utilising Captain's Mate at the minute. Have a look at the videos on the website. There are plenty on there, and hopefully we've got more coming soon. And just keep coming at us with suggestions, because the more we get, the better it will be for everybody. And just keep adding your information and using all of the resources that are available.
Of course, we don't know when this is going to end, but are you making plans for when it does end?
Absolutely. The minute that we can get back in that building, we will be, because obviously we have tenants, we've got members that want to come and stay with us. In terms of members who are sailing, what we're doing in the interim is trying to give them more incentives to be engaged with the CA during the season. What's important at the minute is that we keep members updated with information as and when the situation changes. Obviously, there are a lot of restrictions at the minute of what countries you can and you can't go into, which will affect, you know, everybody's sailing. So keep an eye on the website, because as soon as anything changes, we'll put that out there for members. And, you know, we want everybody to be safe, but on the water as quickly as they can be. But everybody's got to do it in a careful manner, because that's the most important thing at the minute, is safety of members and safety of staff.
Lucy Gray, the CA's general manager, with lots of useful tips and making the point that the CA is very much active during this COVID-19 crisis. One member who's also been very active is Paul Newgas. He went to Morlaix in Brittany, where his boat is moored, to prepare her for the coming season. Now he's stuck out there until the end of April. With French cafes, restaurants and bars closed, it must be difficult. I asked him about life on board, trapped away from home.
The boat is Ardiola, it's in the list. She's a 1935 James Silver motor cruiser, 51 foot long, solid teak, and they're fairly comfortable to live on. So I'm entirely happy there. Well, I didn't intend to come out here for that long. I just came out on one of my periodic inspection visits, but Brittany Ferries then closed down. So I would say I'm stuck here, but not with any degree of discomfort.
So whereabouts are you?
I'm in Morlaix.
In North Brittany?
In Brittany, yes. It's just south of Roscoff in Brittany.
How long have you been in France?
Well, this trip I came out probably two or three weeks ago, intending only to be a couple of weeks out here, but had to prolong it because Brittany Ferries stopped sailing for all the usual reasons at the moment. And I'm coming back on the 22nd of April, which is a bit prolonged, although there are one or two complaints from the family. I actually am entirely content with that. plenty of things to do on the boat. Although, having said that, it's too wet and cold and windy to paint or varnish outside.
And are you managing okay for groceries and food supplies?
Yes, I'd like to say that I was living extremely happily and contentedly and well. I can jump on the bicycle every morning, go to the boulangerie, or at least every other morning. That's about 3 or 4 minutes away. And if I'm feeling a bit more energetic, I can bicycle uptown, which is about 10 minutes, to the local supermarché and come back with all I need, which I do periodically. The basic food shops are open. Everything else is very shut up. And it suits me as a cyclist because there are practically no cars on the road. So I can pedal away freely. Although, having said that, the French actually are very good at avoiding me on my bicycle. And if anyone wanted to ring me and chat, I'd be very happy.
Well, we wish you well.
Many thanks, Trevor. Nice to talk to you. Thank you for taking the trouble.
You too. Thanks very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Paul Newgas talking from on board his 52-foot motor yacht moored in Morlaix. And as you heard, Paul would welcome a call. You can find his contact details online or in the handbook. He's listed under Paul Arneson Newgas. The surname is hyphenated, Arneson Newgas. John Cameron, who sails out of Plymouth, has bought a new boat, which is in Holland, and he can't get to her. But he's been busy on another project.
We recently bought a new boat, so we're now stuck with two, and the new boat is out in Holland in a shed, which of course we can't get to, but we did at least bring all its lines back to wash, which we've now done, and I've whipped all the ends of those lines, as Mr. Cuncliffe suggests is a seaman-like thing to do. And the other thing that I've done is to extend a talk that I gave into a video, and that is to give people an introduction into an open source chart plotter application called OpenCPM.
OpenCPM, that sounds a bit technical.
Well, it's something that was started, I think, back in 2007 by a sailor who was also a programmer out in the States. And of course, this is, 12 years ago now, and I think chart plotters in general back then didn't perform the way he thought they could. And they certainly didn't do it for a price that he felt he could make one work at using sort of a standard laptop. But of course, that wasn't initially something that he put in the cockpit. And so he began to develop the software, and of course, it's grown into something very successful, and there are now 20 programmers who are also sailors supporting the project, and it's gone from strength to strength.
So this is a chart plotter for the masses?
I think that's a good description, but I think you have to sort of use parentheses a little bit and say for the masses who like a bit of DIY and a bit of geekery.
It sounds if it's pretty technical. Is it for the sort of technical competent only?
I would say that the installation process is, and the getting it up and working process is something that you do need a little bit of a technical head, but not excessively so. Generally speaking, with the platforms, the operating system platforms such as Windows and Android and so on, the installation process is typical for any application that you use with it. What is a bit more technical is setting it up for receiving the GPS data, for receiving your boat data over NEMA, and for acquiring the properly licensed charts.
There are lots of chart plotters available now, some of them quite modestly priced. What's the benefit of this one?
The benefit is that, to my mind, is that the presentation of much of the information on the chart plotter, I prefer it to commercial chart plotter apps, if you like. I think a notable example is the quality of the AIS alarm system, and the display on OpenCPM is particularly nice. And I would say its drawback is that it's not as easy to set up as, for example, downloading the Navionics app for an Android device, and you actually can't use it at all on iPads or iPhones.
Well, you've whetted our appetite, so where can we find the video and when?
The video is going to be publicised in the May CA newsletter. And it will be on the general info video section of the Cruising Association website.
We'll watch out for that. John, thank you very much. John Cameron and his chart plotter for the masses, but probably not for the technically challenged. One person who is not technically challenged is Anne Rowe, the CA's web editor. She's based in Cornwall, from where she runs the association's website, so working from home for her is nothing new. With so many ports and countries now closed to yachts, keeping track of the latest information is a challenge. And as we hear, it's a challenge Rats and Anne have risen to.
With regard to the situation with COVID-19 on the website, we have a new page that I created based on information provided by Rats, our regulations and technical services group, that contains advice and considerations for cruising with regard to the situation, as well as country-specific information on the current restrictions that are in place. Obviously, at present, restrictions are far and wide, but as those restrictions begin to ease, we'll be updating the page so that members and non-members alike will be able to see where the restrictions may still apply and what other considerations they need to take when cruising in those areas.
So at times like this, I guess the website is particularly important.
I think so. With most members, their cruising plans for this year are on hold at the very least, perhaps curtailed for the whole season. And the other CA activities like the social get-togethers, the lectures and seminars that are normally held have been cancelled. So the website will be playing a bigger part in keeping members up to date and keeping them in contact with one another.
So the message is keep an eye on the website to discover what's happening.
Absolutely, particularly the forums, and check out the newsletter that goes out every month and any other updates on the website.
Is there anything in particular that we should be looking out for? Any new developments at all?
There's what I think is a very exciting new enhancement to Captain's Mate, which is our unique app. It has already what we call a Find My Friend feature, which can be switched off and on, which allows members to see who might be nearby. That's generally used when you might be in a port or anchorage and you can see who else is about. But there's a new facility that we're hoping to release soon, which will allow email messaging via the Find My Friend facility. And whilst that would be useful when people are out cruising, when people are now stuck at home, they'll be able to contact members via that.
I think it's fair to say that Captain's Mate has been a huge success, hasn't it?
It has indeed. It is one of the most important benefits that members quote as being the reason they join and retain their CA membership. And we do get thousands of reports from members about particular ports, harbours, anchorages for other members, so they know someone's actually been there recently and knows exactly what's going on the ground or on the water.
It's effectively a pilot that is updated every day.
It is, indeed.
I believe the annual log competition results are about to be announced.
They were announced in the April newsletter, and all of the logs have now been published. So if members are looking for inspiration for their future cruising plans, they can go to the members' pages of the website and look at the logs and read them through, and logs from previous years are also available. We would normally announce the winners of the log competitions at the annual Hansen lecture at the end of March, but obviously due to the COVID-19 situation, that was cancelled. But the awards were still given and the logs are available to be read.
And they could well provide inspiration for anyone who's dreaming of the time when we can get afloat again.
Indeed, and there are stories from cruising in local waters around the UK, Atlantic crossings, tales from the Med to the Baltic and elsewhere throughout the world. So anywhere members might want to cruise or plan to cruise, there's bound to be a log that tells the story to inspire them.
Anne Rowe, now fully operational from her delightful new home in Cornwall, with details of the wealth of information available on the website. At the other end of the southwest section, in a small village near Bristol, is Simon James. Although it's a landlocked village, he's still been active with boaty maintenance.
We have a Naiad 360 built in 1990, and so there's inevitably quite a lot of things that need to be done, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to bring quite a few of the bits and pieces home, and have done over the winter months. So one of the jobs I've tried to do, I've liberated the chart plotter, brought it home, haven't yet done it, but I will be doing it shortly, fixing it up with a 12-volt transformer so that I can actually go through the manual and learn all those little tricks and bits and pieces in there that I've never had time to sit down and really work out how it works. There's a lot of capability in it, And it's well worth trying to use a bit more of it. You know, it's little things like, you know, the use of the AIS, looking at the passing traffic and things like that, and trying to work out where you are, where you will be in relation to the bigger boats. When you go out sailing, you've never really got time to sit down and actually really work it out.
Yeah, well, that's a great tip. If people can take the chart plotter off their boat and power it at home. But how about more basic chores? Have you tackled sort of fenders and ropes?
Yeah, I tend to bring quite a few bits and pieces home at the end of the season. And things like fenders, they always need cleaning on and reinflating, checking the lanyards. I've got some canvas work that needs cleaning. It's got a little bit of mildew on. And ropes, of course. There's always loads of ropes that come off one way or another. I actually have two sets of mooring lines. So we have a winter set and a summer set. And so the summer set gets a good old cleaning before we go back out sailing.
It sounds as if you've been very active.
Well, I try to be. The alternative is doing gardening, which is not quite my thing.
Simon, thank you so much for that.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
You're very kind. Simon James avoiding gardening at all costs, and who can blame him? More from Simon a little later. Now, many CA members also belong to their local yacht club, and those clubs are frequently used by CA sections for meetings. We are, for instance, grateful to the Royal Torbay Yacht Club in Torquay for hosting our regular meetings. But now all yacht clubs are closed, and some aspects of club life are in danger of disappearing. But there is one way you can continue to support them. The majority of clubs outsource their catering to a chef who in turn employs a small team. They're a small business within the clubs. They cannot continue to offer a restaurant service because they've been told to close as part of the government's coronavirus measures, but many are now offering a takeaway service. This is vital to their existence, and here is where you can show support. Many clubs are displaying a takeaway menu on their website and will deliver locally if you can't get along. Take a look at the menu and if you can, place an order. Unless we support these people now, they won't be around when the clubs reopen and life returns to something like normal. They're depending on us. Now, one of the benefits of this forced break is it gives us all a chance to catch up on some of those jobs we've been meaning to tackle but somehow never quite get round to. Paul Edel sails out of Plymouth. I asked him what he's been doing to stay active.
I've been going on long bike rides, doing a lot of cooking, and I finally got round to editing some video that I shot on the boat 2 years ago. It was the day that we had the compass adjusted by a wonderful man called Alan Hopton in Falmouth in Carrick Roads. The video shows how Alan actually swung the compass on Guiding Star. I was sure there was something wrong with it. And funnily enough, I got a Facebook message later from somebody who had a strange experience rounding the Lizard several decades ago on the boat with the same compass. So I always thought there was something slightly strange about it. What Alan did, using some wonderful equipment, some of it older than the boat, some of the equipment was from 1904, was get us to drive the boat in certain directions, and he was able to take bearings on a landmark, a headland south of Falmouth, that he knew what the bearing ought to be. So he was able to compare the bearing that he took with the bearing that we thought we were motoring from the compass, and assemble a deviation table.
And was it out very much?
It was out, but not consistently. So the worst direction was northeast. I think it was something like 7 degrees out. Most of the rest was fine, you know, 1 or 2 degrees, although even that's not great. First, he established whether or not the heel of the boat affected the compass. So that's he had a gauge from 1904 to do that. So he was able to show that actually the heel of the boat didn't affect the compass at all. Then he had something that looked like a sextant on its side, which he clamped to the edge of the companionway so that he could take very accurate bearings, and he got us to drive the boat north, south, east, west, and then all the main points of the compass in between. And every time he took the bearing on the headland, we were close to a buoy in Carrick Roads, and he knew the bearing from the buoy to the headland. So he was able to compare the bearing that he was getting from the bearing that the compass told. And that's how he showed that northeast was several degrees out.
So in these days of high technology, the old technology sometimes wins through.
Yes, and it's a requirement on merchant ships. That's why people with Allen's skills still exist. However much advanced navigational gear you've got on the biggest container ship, you're still required to have a magnetic compass. And if you have a magnetic compass, somebody needs to check it at regular intervals to make sure that it's accurate. And if it isn't, then what Alan did on our boat, and I'm sure this is what you do on the largest oil tanker, you use magnets to adjust the compass. So Alan taped a small inch-long, very powerful magnet to the side of the binnacle, and that corrected the worst of the deviation.
That's a really skilled job, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I mean, how he calculated the strength of the magnet and the exact position to put it, I don't know. That was his wizardry.
And of course, if all the power fails, you've still got the magnetic compass.
Yes. Well, we sail on the magnetic compass a lot. Guiding Star was built in 1911, and although I do use navionics to track our course, and I do have a handheld VHF on deck which has GPS in it and will give an accurate heading, I steer by the magnetic compass, so it's essential.
You put this video together. How can members see it?
You can look on Guiding Star's website, which is guidingstar1907.com. It's only 2.5 minutes long, so won't take too much of anybody's morning.
Paul Edel, and that website again, guidingstar1907.com. And finally, at this time of the year, when we ought to be thinking of getting afloat, here's a cautionary tale. Simon James picks up the story.
Yes, it's a bit of a long story, but it all resolves around the very first time we took the boat out. I got some friends, and we got ourselves all organised. The ropes and the fenders were duly prepared. The engine was checked out and was running sweetly. So a touch of reverse and we were away. They let the lines go, and then it suddenly dawned on me there was no steering wheel. The steering wheel had been carefully put in the main cabin for safekeeping. And we were gradually going backwards towards the pontoons on the far side, with a little bit of wind that was sort of beginning to move the boat around, and the boys were getting a little bit concerned. Fortunately, I was able to dive in, grab the wheel, put it on the axle, and got the boat under control before we hit the other side. The interesting thing was the boys were so busy in doing what they were doing that they never actually saw the problems I had.
There, but for the grace of God, go I.
Something like that. There's always a few good tales to be told whenever you're sailing.
And with that tale of a wheel-less boat bringing a smile to our faces and reminding us it could so easily happen to us, we come to the end of this Southwest Soundings podcast. If you enjoyed it, then we'll try and make it a regular treat, bringing you news of what other members are getting up to at this difficult time, together with the latest from CAHQ. A reminder that we have booked the Rockfish restaurant in Brixham for the Christmas lunch. It's on Sunday, December the 6th, and we have a surprise guest speaker. It was oversubscribed last year, with some people unable to get a ticket. It's a popular event, so make sure you've got a note of that in your diary, and I'll let everyone know when you can book. That's more or less from me, except to say thank you to all who have contributed. If you've been doing interesting boaty things, if you have hints and tips to pass on, or simply a story to tell, then drop me a line at southwest@theca.org.uk. Take care, stay safe, goodbye.